Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central. I'm joined now by someone who's no stranger to this podcast, and that's Telkom Group Executive for Regulatory Affairs and Government Relations, Siya Bonga Mahlangu. Siya, it's good to see you again. Welcome back to the podcast.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, Duncan. Good to see you again.
Now, it's you've been making some news this week, Siya. Telkom has dropped a bit of a bombshell on the industry. It's approached the announced yesterday, in fact, that it approached the Competition Tribunal seeking to have the spectrum arrangements, the spectrum agreements between Vodacom and Rain declared a merger and therefore notifiable in terms of the Competition Act. I think it's quite widely known that Vodacom has a roaming arrangement with Rain, whereby it effectively uses Rain's spectrum to supplement its own spectrum assignments from ICASA. I guess my first question is, the Competition Commission and ICASA both cleared this arrangement previously, I think back in 2018, saying that it didn't constitute a merger. But you've decided now to approach the tribunal, which has the power to overrule the commission in these matters directly. Why have you done that?
Yes, because firstly, our view is that the Competition Commission took a narrow interpretation of what's going on. In our view, they focused on the technical integration, and they did not look at the economic incentives between the parties, things that informed the merger specifically. And we also believe that there was no detailed review of all the ex ante incentives, as I said. Okay. And the mechanics of these arrangements and how they impact on the market structure and the dynamics of competition in the mobile sector. Okay. That's precisely that. And again, why now, you would ask the question. We've been engaging with both authorities without stopping since then. We've been engaging with the ComCom and ICASA, and we've been pleading with them to reconsider this. And ICASA said to us they're going to consider this during the mobile broadband services inquiry. Mm-hmm. But right now, that process is moving towards the public hearings, but no discussion has been heard of the competition impact of these types of arrangements. And with respect to the Competition Commission, we then worked with our economists and our technical advisors to try and show that this is what it is. But because the Competition Commission has made its determination that this does not constitute a merger, then we have to approach a higher structure, in this instance, the Competition Tribunal, to look at this. And because we would want a specialist competition authority to look at the facts of these transactions. The issue is not whether they should not be allowed or not, but mm-hmm. the issue is that let them go through the merger control regulations that we have in this country so that they could be clarified. One of the, before we get deep, I think one of the analysts or commentators has said, it's a long shot. Why do they call it a merger even? This is a Rain giving over control of its spectrum and its RAN to a dominant operator. The only way in this country that kind of transaction would be regulated is through the Competition Act.
Right.
So basically what you are dealing with here, the effect of these contractual arrangements is that they have committed Rain's productive capacity to serve Vodacom's needs over an extended period with an impact on the market structure and the dynamics of competition. So if you go to Section 12 of the Competition Act, you then find that the definition of a merger, it says a merger occurs when one or more firms directly or indirectly acquire or establish direct or indirect control over the whole or part of the business of another firm. So the 1802.6 spectrum and the RAN of Rain are fully at the disposal of Vodacom. Mm. If you minus that, Rain has no business.
Mm.
And therefore, that means this should have been scrutinized on what it means for the rest of the sector.
So let's assume the Competition Tribunal agrees with your argument and there's a process, and the final outcome is that the tribunal determines that this is in fact a merger and it is notifiable under the Competition Act. What is the import of that? What are the implications of that? Would it mean Vodacom and Rain are not allowed to continue with their arrangement?
What it would mean is that if they want to continue with this arrangement, then they must file it. They must notify the merger with the authorities. Mm-hmm. The merger must be assessed in terms of Section 12, Capital A, whether it has any effect on competition. Mm-hmm. If it has the effect of lessening competition, then the competition authorities will have to look at appropriate remedies or conditions that it can put on this merger if it is inclined to approve it.
Right.
Yes. So, okay.
And because
if there are no...
Sorry, see, I was just saying, and if that were to happen and it became notifiable, Telkom would presumably object to it in that forum.
No, we will make submissions on the impact of it on competition. Right. We wouldn't necessarily object. We're not here to stifle commerce. Okay. All we're asking for is a level playing field.
Right.
Remember, what it means is that you've got 20 megahertz of 2.6 at the disposal of Vodacom.
Yes.
They said the earlier announcement was that this was deployed in around 5,000 base stations. The latest announcement is that they're going to scale this up nationally onto all of their base stations around 15,000. That mm-hmm. is really going to mess up competition if it's not looked at carefully.
Right. Interesting. But this isn't the only sort of arrangement that we've seen in the telecommunications sector in South Africa because of the lack of spectrum. I think these deals have been done precisely because ICASA hasn't licensed new spectrum since about 2005. We're finally going to see a spectrum licensing process happening next year. But the industry has been making these sort of arrangements to try and cope with the lack of available spectrum and growing demand from consumers. And we've seen similar arrangements between Vodacom and Liquid Telecom for the deployment of commercial 5G. I think that's in the 3.5 gigahertz band where Liquid is providing roaming services to Vodacom to launch 5G services. And MTN has a similar arrangement with Liquid for expanded 4G LTE coverage. Why not take on those two agreements at the same time?
Why not indeed? These agreements have been inspired by the Voda Rain.
Yes.
So that's why you even having to start. You have to start with Voda Rain, follow with all of them, and have the principle established that what is it? No one should try and subvert or exist outside of regulation.
Mm.
But the narrow technical look and the placing reliance more on form than substance is what distorts market structure in this.
Yes.
So now what my short answer to you is that I don't want to preempt our actions, but we're looking at all of these arrangements. We have asked ICASA and the COMCOM consistently to look at all of these arrangements.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to ask you, Sia, was around the spectrum auction. We know that's coming up. We know that ICASA has placed caps on operators in terms of the amount of spectrum they're allowed to bid for. Was the fact that the ITA has come out, has now been published just recently, did that publication of the ITA influence your thinking at this stage to take this matter to the Competition Tribunal? And if so, why?
Not at all, Duncan. We've been working on this. Once the Competition Tribunal releases the papers for public consumption, you will see that there is no way we would have done this thing between last week and today.
Right.
We've been working thoroughly with our technical advisors and our economists. And we've had to make sure that we're as detailed as possible to assist the tribunal to be able to deal with this matter.
Yes.
So the important thing is that how do you, if you're ICASA, if one asks this question, how do you determine the spectrum caps without having determined the spectrum available to Vodacom and to MTN?
Mm-hmm.
because it's not, so there's an emphasis on spectrum ownership more than access to spectrum.
Yeah.
So that to me is a, I hope ICASA reads our papers, because we've made sure that we granted them the necessary courtesy to serve them with these papers. I think they need to look at that. How do you put a spectrum cap when you don't look at the dynamics of who is using this spectrum?
Yes.
If we look at infrastructure-based competition in this country, then you have to agree with me that Rain is not competing with Vodacom, and that Liquid is not competing with Vodacom. And lately we know that Cell C is not competing with MTN at the infrastructure-based level.
Yeah.
And that leaves you with a three-player market at infrastructure level.
Mm-hmm.
Then why do you then put an 18% cap if you know that effectively the players that you have are three at infrastructure level? Or at least, why don't you put rules that then says, if you're going to enter into any arrangement in respect of the spectrum that I'm going to give, you need to come back to me as the regulator, and I need to then look at the competitive effects of that arrangement.
Do you expect this matter is going to be dealt with by the Competition Tribunal before the spectrum auction takes place in March next year?
We would hope so. We've requested the commission to try and look at this in line of what is happening in the sector.
Yes. Okay.
We would hope so.
Okay. And I know this is perhaps a question I should ask Vodacom rather than you, but I'm interested in what this would mean if you're successful in this approach to the Competition Tribunal, what it would mean for Vodacom's participation in the spectrum auction in terms of the spectrum caps that have been put in place, etc. Would Vodacom still be able to participate in the auction?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to venture into that. But I think the indictment is not on Vodacom.
Yeah.
The indictment is on the regulators to make sure that they set the rules that are appropriate and relevant to the nature of competition today in the sector.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right, Sia, before I let you go, I am going to corner you on the ITAs. I'm not going to ask you to give me a detailed overview of the two ITAs that ICASA has published, the high demand spectrum ITA and the ITA for the wholesale open access network. But I would be keen, if you don't mind, just to get a very sort of high level view from you on these two ITAs. Are you happy with what they say in broad terms, or are you generally unhappy with the way ICASA has approached this?
Well, it's difficult to make any call, Duncan, whether one is happy or not, because we are battling to understand the rationale between the rationale for certain things in the ITA. Mm-hmm. For instance, why 184 caps? Why 80 megahertz to the WON? Why so many megahertz to this end? And why the reserve price is set in the manner that it is? So we hope ICASA will release reasons for that. But we have written to ICASA, and we've said, ICASA, on the face of it, the way you've structured this ITA, it will have the effect of entrenching the dominance and duopolistic nature of the market. So would you kindly give us your reasons document? Because you've had more than 50 operators and interested persons making submissions to your information memorandum. And it looks like you've taken care of some of those, but we don't know what your reasons are. You've called for more submissions during the, they've asked after COVID, they've asked for us to make certain submissions, and we did. And we gave them our experiences.
Yes.
And we said, right now, but we don't know. They said they will issue the reasons in due course. We've asked ICASA to come back to us by next week so that no one delays this process. We get to understand exactly where ICASA comes from, because that would impact on how we value this spectrum and how we determine what to get, what to do, and whether we're happy or not.
Yeah.
So there's a clarification process which needs to be distinguished from our request for reasons. Because for us to ask for clarification, we need to be clear where you're coming from. Otherwise, it will end up being a fishing expedition and so on. So we're hoping to get those reasons from ICASA as soon as possible, at least by next week as we've requested them. And then we will then be able to engage with you and answer you whether we are happy or not. But on the face of it, there are troubling things. For instance, if you're going to give me a high price on sub 1 gig, which sub 1 gig is dirty, right? We know, I mean, we've got the sub 1 gig that they gave us during COVID. We know that it's a struggle to use it.
Yes.
Now, if that is the case, why would you price it the way you're pricing it? Or at least, why aren't there any conditions for it? And in some jurisdictions where they're trying to deal with competition, they say, okay, new players or new entrants, in this case, I would say Telkom in the sub 1 gig range, right? We don't have one. They would say those without sub 1 gig, for instance, they would give them a discount on the reserve price or a discount on the acquisition price. And that ranges up to 30%. That's the global experience. But we don't see a discussion around sub 1 gig that tells us that. And maybe for good measure, that discussion, it's in the reasons document. And therefore, we'd like the reasons document to be fast-tracked, and so that we can be able to comment on ICASA's clarification process. Yes.
You've said before on this very podcast that you are concerned about the allocation of spectrum for 5G. So we're specifically talking about the 3.5 gigahertz band. And I think your suggestion was that that should possibly go to the WOAN, because if you need a large block of contiguous spectrum to be able to offer high quality 5G services. Just looking at the way ICASA has proposed dividing up that particular band and the lots that they've created in 3.5 gigahertz, are you happy or unhappy about the way they've done it? And do you think what do you think the impact is going to be on the rollout of commercial 5G services in South Africa?
You know, still again, this would depend on what is in the reasons document.
Okay.
And also, remember the minister in the policy direction requested the regulator to conduct a 5G study and to report to her within, I think, 6 months of the publication of the policy directions.
That's right.
We have not seen the outcomes of that study. We don't know if the study exists. We don't know the outcomes of that study. So, if I recall well, the policy direction then said, then license the 5G thing in accordance with that study. What if ICASA has indeed conducted the study, the question that arises is, why didn't it conduct it publicly? Why didn't ICASA ask the operators what they think and other experts what they think about 5G and how 5G should be licensed? But the immediate reflections, preliminary reflections on the 5G as it stands, is that it's worrying that it is not efficient. And if it is to be efficient, it will only entrench the Vodacom liquid arrangement.
Right.
Because if Vodacom has access to 56 megahertz of the liquid spectrum, and then all it needs to do is to go and fight for 30 to 50 megahertz in the auction. And of course, that will predetermine the competition environment or the level of competition for 5G services, or at least the level of competition in the offering of 5G services.
Yeah. I often wonder, Sia, if you regulatory guys enjoy chess. Do you play chess? Because this all seems like a big game of chess to me.
I don't know if it's chess, but it's reality. At this point, if you go and do those numbers, they will tell you that Vodacom, in fact, as we speak today, has got more than 100 megahertz of access to more than 100 megahertz of 3.5 and access to more than 100 megahertz of 2.6. So arguably, at the theoretical level, Vodacom has access to 200 megahertz that it could deploy for 5G. Mm-hmm. So that's a discussion to be had.
It's interesting. It sounds like I'm going to need to invite you back on the podcast here at some point after the reasons document has been published by ICASA, so that we can unpack some this in some more detail. But thanks very much for taking the time today, at least to share your insights into your reasons into why you've approached the competition tribunal over the Vodacom and Rain spectrum agreements. Siyabonga Mahlangu is a group executive for regulatory affairs and government relations at Telkom. Thanks for talking to Tech Central.